prayer isn't really that natural for people. And praying for a while, you just can't do it. You get bored, you get stuck, you get distracted. You don't really know how to pray, who you're praying to, or anything without Jesus' help. You need to learn how to pray if you want to learn. Would anyone like to learn? Well, Jesus is up for teaching you. And here's some of his teaching now, so it's massively significant. Lord, teach us to pray. And he didn't go all mystical and say, prayer is a very mystical thing. He just said, oh yeah, when you pray, say this. So this, the Lord's Prayer, is massively, massively significant. But we'll take it from verse 5 and catch a little bit of the rest of his teaching as well. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans. They think they're going to be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we also forgive those who are in debt to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Wow. Receiving God's forgiveness is ultimate, and giving his forgiveness is absolutely essential. They're the two different sides of the same coin that we want to spend this morning. That's why we're having communion at the end and not in the middle, because we want you to have an opportunity to come to the cross, receive forgiveness afresh yourself, and also to release other people who you might be holding grudges against. Some people might have massively hurt you in your life, but you can be free from them. But not if you don't forgive them. Forgiveness is a choice and a powerful release of yourself. When you forgive someone, you let yourself free. You set yourself free so that you can live free and full of love and joy and peace. And you free yourself actually from the pain of what they've done as well. That's the awesome power of forgiveness. And confession of sin is just vital. Here's Jesus teaching us to pray, and he's saying every day, ask for forgiveness. Significant, isn't it? Confession is good for the soul, isn't it? It's actually good for your body and your mind as well. A few years ago, we did an Alpha course, and this couple got saved. They were in the 50s. They're an absolutely lovely couple. You know, she looked like a little queen, always smart and radiant. And he was a lovely guy, but he looked like he was dying to me. He had sunken cheeks. He sort of walked with a bit of a stoop. He always shook. He was massively nervous. And a lovely, lovely guy. But he just looked like he was falling apart on the inside. Because he was. And we went on a weekend, an encounter weekend, just meeting with God and stuff. And they came. And after one of the afternoon sessions, he said, Martin, can I talk to you? I said, yeah, sure. And he came in the little chapel thing. And he was really, really nervous. Was shaking more than ever. And he sat down, oh, I don't know whether I can say this. I need to confess something. Something I've done. I said, you all right, bro, don't worry. Just, you know, if you want to confess it, just confess it. I don't think I'll be shocked. I might have been, but I said to him I wouldn't be. And he said, I've never told anyone this. And this guy was on temazepam every day. Massively on drugs and stuff for his nerves. I've got terrible problems with my nerves. There was nothing wrong with his nerves. His problem was with his conscience. Guilt is a very serious thing. And if you hold it inside, it destroys you. Confession gets rid of it. And he said to me, 30 odd years ago, I mean, the poor guy, 30 odd years ago, I had an affair with a woman. I committed adultery when I was working down in London. It was shaking. I had an affair. I committed adultery. He'd never said it to anyone. He was splurting out this confession. He was crying, shaking. So, man, such a privilege to be in my job and help people get free. It is. I count it as a massive privilege if people confess their sins to me. And obviously, it was massively comforting to him. You don't let people off the sin, because that'll just leave them with it. You help them to get forgiveness from Jesus. Tell him me isn't enough. He needs to tell Jesus. And actually, in this instance, you know, and I wouldn't tell people to do this all the time, but for him, I thought it really mattered. I felt it was off the Lord, actually. I said, I think you need to tell your wife as well. It was 30 years ago, you need to tell today, for your sake. And he was, actually, even after he told me, he came up a little bit. And then we prayed together and he confessed it to the Lord. And he felt better. And then he went off to tell his wife. And when he came back on the evening meeting, I tell you, I couldn't recognise the guy. I couldn't recognise him. He was like a different man. He walked in, he had colour in his cheeks. He was walking with his head held high. He was free. His wife forgave. I said, what happened with your wife? He said, she just forgave me and loved me. She said, that was years ago and we weren't Christians. I forgive you. I mean, it's a massive thing to forgive. I'm not belittling adultery. It's horrific. Horrific. But, 30 years on temazepam, he was off in a fortnight. Off. Because there's nothing wrong with his nerves. The problem is with his conscience. Sin actually is something. It's real. And if you don't get it forgiven, if you don't get it cleansed, it just builds up and up and up and destroys you. Destroys you. Confession is not only good for your relationship with God, essential, but it's good for you. It makes you well in every walking in the light, being real, coming clean with God, and sometimes with others. Sometimes it's important. And you'll have that opportunity today as well. The prayer team are going to be here. You can confess anything you want to them. If you want to. But if you want to, it's an awesome thing to be able to do. Not to have secrets, not to have darkness, but to be utterly free. Here's what Jesus says in his teaching to disciples about prayer. Pray every day that God gives you your daily bread and at the same time for forgiveness. Every day for forgiveness. Do you do that? Every day, confess your sins to the Lord. Why? Because you sin every day. Now listen, for clarity, he isn't saying pray every day for salvation. You're not asking for salvation every day. Save me, Lord. Oh, I'm saved. Now I've sinned. I'm not saved. Save me, Lord. Oh, I'm not saved. I'm saved, aren't I saved? No, listen, if you're saved, you're saved. But you still need to be forgiven when you sin. There's a big difference. So here's the first most important thing. Are you saved? To be saved means you're born again. You've come to the cross already at some point in your life. And you've put your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, some of you might not have done this yet. That's fine. Today's a good day to do it. You come for the first time to the cross. You ask Jesus to forgive you and be your saviour and save you. And when you mean that from your heart, something supernatural happens. Your heart is changed. Paul's already been shouting about it this morning because he doesn't know how to speak. He just shouts. No, Paul's been speaking about it this morning, about having a heart change where you're born again. And you know something, when that's happened, people around you know it. Most times you know it. And you just know you're saved. You're not perfect, but you're saved. You still sin, but you're saved. It's like this. My dad, who sat at the back there looking very dapper this morning, used to play, when he had loads of energy and he was a sportsman, he used to play bowls, these type of bowls. Because it takes a lot of energy to do this kind of sport. And you know, with those bowls, I don't know whether you know this, but they have a bias in them. There's a weight in them on one side and where the little dot is or whatever. And so if the ball's there and you want this ball to hit that ball, you've got to go over there to get to it. You roll it over there and it leans, it has a bias, it's going to go that way. Wherever the bias is, it goes that way. Now here's the truth. You and I, we're born with a bias. It's called the sinful nature. You see little babies, oh, they're gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. Yeah, but they're little sinners. Sorry, but they are. Any parent here knows that's true. I've never, ever had to teach our kids to lie, fight, steal. Never. They do it naturally. They're little sinners, and as they grow, sin grows in them. It's a disease that we picked up from our first parents, Adam and Eve, when they sinned against God. It's in the human bloodline. It's called the sinful nature. That's true. I have a bias towards sin. You can put me on a desert island. You can separate me from all of the people. I'll find evil. I'll find wrongdoing. I'll invent it if I have to. I am born a sinner. I'm a sinner by practice. I'm a sinner by choice. I'm a sinner by nature. That's how I am before I'm born again. You're going to wear a nice suit. You can have a nice job. You're filthy on the inside. Full of lust, full of jealousy, full of anger, full of hate, full of... You're just a sinner. You love sin. You can't get enough of it. Though you present to the world a nice picture, here's the truth about human nature. Just the truth. When you are born again, God takes out that bowling ball of a heart and puts in a brand new one with a different bias. Instead of always going off into sin, now I always go back to God. I can even go into sin, but I'll hate it when I do. I used to love sin, couldn't get enough of it. Now when I sin, I'm devastated, I hate it. What's changed? I've changed. I'm born again. That's a sign that you're born again, actually. So if you feel bad about your sins, particularly bad, and when you sin, you can't stand it, and you have to get back to God, and you have to get back to the cross, and you have to confess, and you have to, that's a good sign that you're saved, actually. The difference is like this. Before you're born again, your heart's like a tablet of stone with your sins chiseled on it. Jesus, in his love, dealt with that on the cross. He takes out that heart and gives you a new heart. It's like getting a whiteboard back. Beautiful whiteboard with a little pen and a cloth. And every day I can write anything I want on that heart. I can. None of it's there forever. It's not in stone. I can write sinful things on there when I sin. I can make a mess of it. But here's the good news. I've got a little cloth. And it comes off real easy because I'm born again. It's not in my nature now to sin. I just get cleansed. I just get forgiven. I just wash it off. I just wash it off. That's the importance. If you're not a Christian today, listen, God absolutely loves you. Come to him. Come to his open arms and be born again. Get a new nature from God. It's the best thing that will ever happen to you. Getting into the love of God is just the best thing in life. It is. If you are a Christian, keep getting cleansed. Confess your sins. Get back with God. Get right with God. Quickly. Every day, go over the whiteboard. Every day, Lord, go over the whiteboard. Go over the whiteboard. Keep it white. Because you're not always writing sin on there. Most days, you're writing awesome things about God and Jesus and love and your family shining out of you. But when there is any sin, don't deny it. Don't pretend. Confess. He's Jesus teaching us how to pray. A prayer that teaches us how to pray. And it's a prayer that he never prayed. Jesus never had to pray that. Jesus never prayed, forgive me, because he never sinned. But he's teaching us to pray here. He's saying, listen, for you guys, every day, daily bread, every day, forgive me. Forgive me for my sins. It's very, very important that you don't let it build up. Do you do that, or do you just let it build up? Here's a very famous scripture, an awesome scripture that I'm sure most of you know, 1 John, about confession and forgiveness. John chapter 1 verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have a friendship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we're lying and the truth isn't in us. But if we walk in the light
As he is light, we have friendship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, washes us from every sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't claim to be without sin, because if you do, you're just deceiving yourself. How do you deceive yourself? You deceive yourself if you think that little sins don't matter and you just let things build up. Build up on that whiteboard, build up. Sins build up. That doesn't really matter. Oh, I'm all right. I'm doing okay. Well, it's just a little thing. Well, that doesn't matter. I'll get around to it later. I'll confess it some other time. I'll pray about it. It's a mistake. Do you know what? It's building up. You wake up the next morning. You're still unclean. It's building up. It's building up. I just watched a little something on television. It's building up. It's building up. I used to have a car. We've still got it, sadly. This little red car that we park outside our house. And I tell you, when you live under trees, you know, all this stuff falls on them, including bird poop, right? And this little red car used to get splattered with bird poo and all sticky stuff, and it used to get covered. And the trouble is, because I'm with it every day, it just used to build up and up. And in the end, the bird poo was like a pattern. It was like a zebra-coloured car. And it was built all this sticky stuff. Little branches would fall down and land on it. And in the end, I was driving around like in a forest, in a tree. And you just don't see it when it's your own, do you? And you just think, drive along and think, what are people laughing at? Okay, it's a bit old, but what's the problem? And one day I parked outside the school and I went in for a little while. And when I came out of the school, there was all these really posh cars, all clean, right next to it. And I looked at it and I thought, I saw it. I saw it as other people saw it. It was a little jungle of its own. It had animals living in it. And it was horrific. It's horrific. How about you? You're growing a little jungle somewhere on the inside. You're covered in one bit of muck after another bit of muck after another bit of muck. Or daily, are you taking your heart and your life and yourself before God and keeping clean? Because if you don't, this stuff builds up. Don't have one big repentance session every 6 months, will you? That's a major mistake. Stay clean. Stay clean. By confession. Confess your sins to the Lord. To totally deny sin is just ridiculous. It's like burying toxic waste in your garden. Everyone else can see it, but you can't. That's the thing. It sort of says, doesn't it? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You don't deceive anyone else. I mean, your wife knows. Your husband knows. Your kids know. Those around you know that you're a sinner. But you think, I'm all right. Oh, I'm all right. I'm a nice person. I'm good. I'm all right. It's just total denial. I'm all right. I mean, that's a famous British phrase, isn't it? Oh, we've got something on at church. Would you like to come? Oh, I'm all right. Thanks. Oh, we've got an Alpha course starting. I don't know whether you're interested in. I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm all right. Really? That's interesting, because the Bible says you're all wrong. And you massively need God. Self-righteousness is the most dangerous thing you'll ever have in your life. Your sins won't take you to hell in the end. I'm all right, can. Do you want to come to the cross? I'm all right. Do you want to come to church? I'm all right. Do you need God or not? Oh, I'm all right is deadly. Deadly. It's a mask for horrific pride and rebellion. If you need to come to God today, do it. And do not let anything hold you back. Get rid of your sins before they destroy you. I had a dream while I was preparing for this sermon about me having cancer on my back. It wasn't a very nice dream, actually. I dreamt that I woke up in our bed and was looking out the window, starting to pray at the beginning of the day. You know, the curtains open, the window's open, wind blowing through this tree. I'm starting to pray, and as I was praying, I noticed this thing on my back. And it wasn't sticking up. It was just a black, round dot. I looked at it. I knew it was cancer. I tried to ignore it. I'll just keep praying. It's a nice day. The sun's shining. God's there. I'm okay. I knew it was about sin.
This is how some people live. I won't look at it. It's all right. It's just a part of my life. It's just a little weakness. Everyone does it. Well, people think differently about this these days. No, it's cancer. It's like cancer. You have to let God take it out. He can take it out so easily. But you have to let him take it out. You can pretend it's not there. Your guilt. You can deny your guilt. But it's there. And it needs to be removed. Christians who want intimacy with God and revival. Do you know what? It's the same for all of us. Same for me, same for you. There is just no way you can live close to God with sin in your life. I mean, God, he hates sin. He's diametrically opposed to sin. He destroys sin. Sin, it's our arch enemy. It's sin that destroys families. It's sin that keeps Europe in darkness. It's sin that holds you back from being effective for God. Don't cherish it. David said, if I'd cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened to me. It's interesting. That's some of us, we're praying all right, but God isn't answering our prayers. There's a reason. We're nursing something that God despises. We're cherishing it. It's just a little, it's just a little. No, it's cancer. Repent. This morning you have a fantastic opportunity to repent. You won't have intimacy with God. You won't. Imagine I'm going to have a night of passionate romance with Margaret, like we do. Once every 4 years we get together. And I go and get upstairs and get ready in my red silk pajamas that she loves so much, with my cravat, my little sleeping hat. And I get a bit of Calvin Klein on, and getting all excited. And then I see my shoe. Oh, what's that on my shoe? Oh, it's a bit of dog dirt on my shoe. Oh, hey, dog dirt. Let's get a bit of dog dirt on. Margaret comes in. Hey, honey, it's your lucky night. That's not going to happen, is it? Oh! Listen, sin to God is a million times worse than dog dirt. If you got dog dirt in your heart today, bin it. Shelve it. No, don't shelve it. Destroy it! Destroy it. Hate sin like Jesus hates sin. We don't like to think about Jesus hating, but here's what the Bible says about Jesus. You loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God blessed you with joy. Do you want a bit of joy in your life, Christian? Do you want a bit of joy in your life? Here's how you'd get it. You love righteousness and hate it. Hate what Jesus hates. Love what Jesus loves. You don't knock around with God's enemies and be his friend, do you? Here's what the Bible says. Friendship with the world, it's enmity with God. John says in his letter, you cannot love the world and have the love of the Father in you. You've got to decide which one. Some of us love the world. We just love it. We love it. Yeah, but God, it's the enemy of God. It's against him and his ways. Some of us are dead to God because we just love the world. We just love it all. You can't love it all and walk with God. You have to decide. There has to be an exodus. You have to come out. You have to be separate. You have to be holy. That's the truth of Christianity. You enjoy yourself. There's no easy way to follow Jesus. But it works if you do it. If you do it. If you repent. And then it says, forgive others. Forgive us as we forgive others who sin against us. Again, he's a supernatural option for you to get free and live free. Forgiveness is a supernatural thing. And God expects you that as you receive his pardon and forgiveness and cleansing for any sin in your life, God delights to forgive. Do you know that? He loves to forgive and pardon you and let you off. It brings joy to his heart. Joy to his heart. But he wants you to do the same for others. That's the deal. He says, I'm willing. Are you willing? So are you willing to be made willing this morning? Are you willing for God to fill you with his love so full that you're able to say, I let them go. I forgive them for what they said, for what they did, for what they robbed me of. I forgive them. That is the reality of being born again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Me and Stuart were ministering in a church somewhere, and we were doing an Alpha course. And halfway through the Alpha course, this guy gets saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and blessed. And he's a Scottish guy and an older guy. And he says to us one night, he comes and says, I've got a problem. I haven't spoke to my brother for 20 years. And, you know, I feel it's on me. It's heavy on me. And Stuart said to him, well, have you forgiven him for what he did? And it wasn't, do you know what? It wasn't that big, the issue. But it was 20 years of distance it brought to them. And this guy says, no, I don't think I have. He said, well, come on, I'll lead you in a prayer of forgiveness. Let's forgive him. Are you willing to forgive him? Yeah. Okay, well, let's forgive him. And what should I do? Should I try? You don't have to do anything. Let God sort the rest out. You just choose to forgive him. So he sat down and prayed, and he forgave him. And he went home. Here's what happened. He told us the next week. When he got home, there was an answer phone message off his brother. As he was forgiving him, his brother, who he hasn't heard from for 20 years, rings him. You see, this is the supernatural power of forgiveness. And says to him, forget his name now. Maybe not mention his name anyway, because everything goes around the world, doesn't it? He says to him, let's forget the past. I want us to be reconciled. It was a long time ago. Let's get together again. I mean, that's God, isn't it? We were in a church in Derby, me and Stuart, preaching one day. And as we were preaching, I saw this guy at the back. I thought, wow, something massive is happening for him. Big, massive, towering man. And his wife looked really posh, sat at the back. And they were shaking and crying right the way through the preach. I thought, they either don't like it or they really like it. And I couldn't tell which. So, and at the end, someone took us up to them. They were sat down and they were in absolute agony. This man was he'd been a chief police inspector and he'd retired and he'd earned an absolute fortune that he'd worked for and he'd saved it up and he'd been on retired and then went on a 2 months cruise in the Caribbean with his wife. When they came back, one of his sons, who was involved with drugs, had emptied his life's savings and spent it on drugs and partying while they'd been away these 2 months. He was absolutely in agony, angry, hurt, devastated. And they had another son who was just as angry as them, an adult son, who was back at the house. He didn't come to church. And just said, what can we do? I said, I don't know what you can do. I said, oh, do you know what the Bible says and what Jesus said? I said, the only thing you can do is forgive him. I don't know what else to tell him. We're praying. And they said, I can't do it. I said, okay, well, let's just pray anyway, let's pray. And I was praying, Lord Jesus, please help this couple. All this pain, all this agony, and all this. Come, Holy Spirit, please help them. And then the wife turns to her husband and grabs his hand and says, I can do it, if you can. And they were both crying. I mean, they didn't care who was looking. He said, well, if you can, I can do it then. They said, come on, let's do it. And they did it. They prayed forgiveness for their son. So we forgive him. Oh, it's terrible, isn't it? It's terrible. Forgiveness is awesome and terrible all at the same time. You've got to leave justice behind if you want to live in forgiveness, guys. Justice goes. Forgiveness and mercy, you've got to go for that instead. They forgive him. They go home. Oh, they were frightened to go home. They said, you know, they felt instantly better. Because forgiveness is a supernatural thing. You are set free from the hurt often. Often it's instant. And they felt massively better instantly, but then they were terrified to go home because of their other son, their good son, who's at home. And he's still hurt and angry. I mean, you can understand the dilemma, can't you? They've all been together, angry at this evil. And then they've sort of got free from it. And they're frightened because their son, their good son who wants justice, is at home and he's full of anger. And they said, well, look, we've just got to trust God. Let's pray for him. He prayed for him. They went home. Stuart gets a massive email on the Monday. Absolutely miraculous. They get home and they're whispering to each other in the front room. I mean, this big, massive chief police inspector's whispering with his wife, scared of talking to the other son about what's happened. And while they're whispering, worried about it still, he comes in the room and says, Mum, Dad, listen, I've been thinking while you've been at church. You might not agree with me, and I get it if you don't, but I think we just have to forgive him. I think it's going to destroy our family if we don't. We just need to forgive him. They said, we agree.
I mean, the power of forgiveness is awesome, isn't it? Forgiveness and confession, they go together, don't they? Our friends, Karen and Masai. Masai's from Kenya. Got an awesome ministry. I almost got him to come and preach here in August, but because we haven't started the evening services, couldn't get him. So they're over for the summer, but they'll come and do it next time he's back. But he's got an awesome testimony. He was a Muslim, and someone showed him the film Jesus of Nazareth, and later in his house in that night, he woke up in the middle of the night and saw the whole film projected supernaturally on his bedroom wall. And when it came to the cross, he fell on his knees and gave his life to Jesus, and a light came into his room, and it was Jesus. And he had an appearance of Jesus in his bedroom, and he told him, you're going to serve me, and all this. Absolutely, he's going to come and tell yourself. He's an awesome friend of ours, and he married our great friend Karen, who's from Middlesbrough, which you can't get better than that, can you? And they run a big ministry. They run Alfrim prisons in Kenya. And in fact, that started here. You know, God told me and Margaret to tell Masai about the Alpha Course and to buy him 100 Alpha books to take back to Kenya. And he was like a little bit unconvinced, but because we'd bought these books, he said, well, I'll go on then, I'll do it. And he went back. He'll tell you the story himself. It's absolutely miraculous. He's in charge of every prison in Kenya now, this guy. And he's got the Alpha into every prison. First, it was just Mombasa. It's just a supernatural story. In fact, it's on the Alpha website, the story. I'll show you that some of you have seen the DVD. It's amazing. And one of his stories is he's working with these prisoners all the time. He's in prison, and he starts working with this guy who's on death row. He's murdered someone. He's denying it, but he's on death row. And this guy does the Alpha course. He gets saved. He gets filled with the Holy Spirit. And suddenly, he wants to come clean. So the next time he's in court, they're doing all his court cases. Before the judge starts or anything, he asks for permission to speak. And this guy gets up and says, I just want to say that I'm sorry for wasting all of this time in court. I've been denying this murder all the time. And the truth is, I did it. I'm so sorry for wasting your time. I've become a Christian and I can't live in the dark anymore. And I realise it's going to mean me dying. And I deserve that. That's justice. And then he turned to the family who were there of the person he'd murdered. And he begged for their forgiveness. And he explained to them that he'd become a Christian. And God had forgiven him. And he wasn't frightened of dying anymore. And tried to share the gospel with them as well. And the judge shut him up. And says, okay, that's enough. And the judge was like, right. Well, the thing is, and then the family stood up and said, please, sir, can we have permission to speak? And he was like, okay, what? And the family said, we are Christians as well. And because this man has come clean, we want to say publicly, we forgive him for killing our son. And we pardon him and we want him to know that he's forgiven. They're all in tears. Everyone was in tears. The judge said, well, I don't know what to do now. He said, but because there's so much mercy and goodwill, he was so moved, he did a massive thing. He removed him from death row and gave him a 30-year life sentence instead of life in prison, instead of death row. That's pretty big, isn't it? That's massive. He removed him from death row, and people were amazed. It was in the paper. He comes out. That's what confession does. He's got a life sentence, and he's doing his life sentence, working with Masai as a Christian, preaching the gospel in the prison, filled with the Holy Spirit. He does 2 years of his life sentence, and then there's a presidential change in Kenya. They get a new president, and the new president has a tradition where he lets one prisoner out in the whole of Kenya. And you know who he let out? He heard this story. He saw this work this guy was doing with the prisoners, and he released him. He's an evangelist now, works with Masai. You can see the video. I think Stu's got the video or someone. Or we'll lend you it if you want. It's absolutely awesome. It's forgiveness powerful. It's confession powerful. Hey, Christianity works. You just got to do it. It's not easy, but it's right. And it's real. Here's what Jesus says to you this morning. Let's all stand, and then we'll have some ministry. Jesus says to you this. That you should be praying this every day. Father, forgive us our sins. It's sin that holds back revival.
I'm convicted myself standing here. I tell you I am. I want to get down the front and do ministry. I've ministered with God this morning. I want to be white as snow, don't you? Jesus, I want to thank you for your awesome, precious, perfect blood. We thank you that you're the only good man who's ever lived, who died and rose again for us. And Lord, we super thank you that you give your goodness to us when we come and receive it. You give us your gift of righteousness when we come clean with you. And Lord, we just want to do that today. And Lord, you know the people in this room who need to forgive, who may be hurting, forgiving fathers, forgiving mothers, forgiving 101 different people, bosses, school teachers. Lord, only you can help them to do it. So Lord, we ask you to help them to do it in Jesus' name. Guys, here's what we're going to do for ministry. If you want to, you can just confess your sins where you are, forgive people where you are, you're very welcome. Or if you want to make a statement and do some business with God this morning, then come to the communion tables, which represent the body and blood of Jesus. And by faith, you can experience what he did on the cross. When you eat the bread, you're saying, I believe you died for me. Your body given for me, I receive it. When you drink the cup, you're saying, your blood washing me inside, I believe it. Cleanse me from my sin. Wash me. Make me white as snow. I confess my sins. And that's what we're doing in communion this morning. And then after you've taken communion, there's going to be some folks around wearing prayer badges. So do you want to stick them on now, guys, wherever you are? And, have you got some badges? You might have got some badges. And these are the ministry team. And you can go, if you want to confess some sins, come out into the light with another Christian who won't share it with anyone else and won't condemn you, then you're welcome to do that as well. Or if you want to ask them to stand with you and help you to forgive someone who's hurt you, then they'll do that as well.